has been kind of hard. Pandemic raiding the whole world's backyard. I can't seem to find toilet paper in stock. And I can't see my friends or even go for long walks. Sickness and distance, social media loops. This stupid pandemic won't even let me poop. But as difficult as this time may be, as we look to the future, it is hope that we see. Now that I know every inch of my home, and on Netflix I've seen every episode. Also, I baked some dank sourdough. Met the love of my life through an app on my phone. Soon it will end and I can live my best life. Now with my Tinder boo physically by my side, we soon face the future healthy and free. A kitchen full of bread and paper to wipe when we pee. But first we'll listen to this podcast on COVID-19. Brought to you by the best, it's the Daily COVID Reflections.
Hello, yeah. World. Once again, it is Billy Featherston. I'm your host. This episode is brought to you by the sports section of the Daily. I don't know much about sports, but things really got crazy with this section and with the sports realm in general. As we all know, given that sports were pretty much just canceled everywhere. But the sports section really persisted, you know? They really pulled through in this crazy time. They were still able to produce content. So, good things, good things. We all must adapt. And, yeah, here are some writers that wrote for the sports section or other people who served as editors for the Daily, joining us with Andy, the current sports editor. So without further ado, here they are.
All right. Welcome back to this edition of COVID Reflections with the Daily. I'm Andy Amashta, the sports editor, here with Josh Kirschenbaum, our managing editor, Haley Robinson, our former engagement editor, and Alec Dietz, the former sports editor. We're just kind of here to reflect on what this crazy year has been like for our section, as well as, you know, some things to look forward to as Seattle begins to return to this kind of semi-new normal, I guess. So thank you for joining me today, guys.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
So, you know, starting off, you guys were entering this year expecting this to be, you know, kind of your last hurrah with the Daily, covering football and then going into men's basketball. So how do you guys feel that first, when everything was regular, how all of that went?
I think it was going really great. You know, like everything that we had been working on was a success. We raised all that money for the Oregon edition. I think that was one of the highlights of the fall. We put out a really spectacular paper. You know, the game turned out to be good. Like, I think if it was a blowout, it would have been tougher to raise money for, but we got a ton of donations after the game and UW lost. So like, I think that just speaks to the product that we put out and the pride people have in one, the university, and then also in the Daily. I think like the fall and the winter time were going pretty well. Like, I felt like they're all trending in a positive enough direction that when I did leave, that things were going to be, you know, things were going to be good. And then, you know, the Daily was going to be set up for success.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had one of my favorite quarters, fall quarter, and it was great. Sort of, it was hard stepping out of the editor role, sports editor role, and like sort of going into the more general Daily role, but that just made me appreciate getting to cover sports so much more. And I got like the really exciting opportunity to start like doing more columns and stuff like that and sort of be like a senior writer. I mean, I think we did some really great things that whole first two quarters of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I was personally really proud of the work I was doing, just like covering volleyball for my third season. And just like, I finally felt like I was like experienced and like knew what I was doing. I mean, the volleyball team was the best that they'd been while I covered them. I feel like I learned a lot covering UW women's basketball too.
But yeah, I think, I mean, I was sort of thinking like we talked about when we like look back, like the three of us started out as freshmen and it was always like, it's going to take time. It's going to get better. And I really think like at the end, like last year we started to hit the, okay, like it's starting to really come together. Now we got to keep getting better. And like looking at Haley taking over the women's basketball beat and doing new stuff there and getting to do columns and watching Alec like become a photographer pretty much. Like, it was really like obvious that like all three of us were like continuing to grow like really visibly. Like, we weren't backing into the finish line.
Trying to keep that drive and that fire. And yeah, like you said, having visual progress is always makes you feel a lot better about what you're doing. Which then, of course, takes us to where everything went off the rails. You know, March 11th, 12th. Where were you guys when all of that went down, and what was kind of your reaction? What were you seeing that, especially because it all was so centered around sports?
I mean, you guys had obviously the experience I'm sure you'll get into being on the road. Like, I was in Seattle. I was really focused on the softball team because they were about to open their home season. They were about to open their home season before their first real series. They were going to take on the U.S. national team, and that was, like, huge. We were going to try to treat that, like, really big. And then starting that Monday, it became, like, obvious, like, things were not going well. And, like, they made the announcement that there weren't going to be fans there, and then they made the announcement that there weren't going to be fans at, like, any games. And I remember I was down at a press conference. I think that was Wednesday morning, the morning of the 11th. Knowing that stuff was starting to go up, and Anthony Edwards, our softball writer, was there, so I wasn't really like doing anything. So I just hung out in the back with the people from the athletic department, like looking, just scrolling through Twitter, seeing updates from China and South Korea and Seattle, just like things getting shut down, and just like looking at each other and like they're just like going like they're not going to play this game, are they? And then sure enough, like before everything got shut down, the national team pulled out of that game, and we had like what now is comparatively like a blessed 12 hours where we're like, okay, well, maybe let's just continue things without fans, and like we can still like do our jobs. And then it just kept going.
Yeah, I think just to recount, you know, my experiences the weekend before, well, not even the weekend before. Yeah, so like the 11th and 12th was like a Thursday, Friday. So the weekend before, but I was in Arizona, flew into Phoenix and flew out of Tucson because Utah men's basketball team was playing their last weekend before they entered the Pac-12 tournament. And not even the biggest storyline was that they won both games, and they were on like a, you know, whatever losing streak. They were like the worst team in the Pac-12, but then they beat two of the best teams in the Pac-12 on the road. That wasn't even the top story. The top story was that like they had to fly directly to Vegas because Seattle was in the like middle of an outbreak of an epidemic that would become a pandemic. And I think that for me personally, it was like, you were in Seattle that weekend, and I remember everyone was scared about it. There was already people wearing masks. The rest of the country kind of didn't know what was going on, and you couldn't get hand sanitizer anywhere. Like at any store, they would be sold out. I think I remember someone telling me, I think it was our photo editor, Lydia, was like, when you go down to Arizona, you should buy some extra hand sanitizer and then like sell it on the black market. And I was like, that's so bad. Like, I would never do that. I would just give it to people. But like, it was like that big of a thing. So I like, when I went down to Arizona, like there was like no stress about it. Like I traveled down with Lauren Kirschman of the Tacoma News Tribune, and we were like constantly, like she had like this huge tub that somehow she got through airport security of hand sanitizer, and we were using it constantly, all the time. Like we went out when we got food, like we'd wipe down the tables and stuff. People must have thought we were crazy. And I remember going to the airport, and like I'd never been more aware of people coughing or sneezing without covering their mouths in my entire life. Like it was like a constant, like I was so stressed out. So that was like the precursor, but I still was like, this thing's going to blow over. Like, why are things shutting down? Like this makes no sense. And then in the middle of the UW's first game against Arizona in the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas, I think that in the middle of that game, they announced there was going to be no more fans in games. And I remember being like, well, there's fans here right now, so this might be one of the last games like in the country that we played with fans. So like I kind of tried to take it all in, and then you know, UW loss. So we wrote our gamers, our final stories or whatever.
And around in the back rooms of the T-Mobile Arena trying to figure out where the press room was.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then
that from 2 years ago.
Well, they wouldn't let us go into the locker rooms because of all the shutdown stuff. So we had to figure out, you know, what press was going to look like. And then I remember I think on the Arizona trip, Mike Hopkins was trying to like high five me or something, and I originally didn't want to do it, and he made me do it, and I like washed my hands immediately afterwards. But that was on the Arizona trip. So then all this stuff happens, and there's like, I think we flew out early the next morning. I remember Andy didn't want to; he wanted to get up later. But I'm like, dude, I just want to get out of here at like 8 o'clock and go home. You know, go home to Seattle, and then when we land,
it was really cool.
Well, and then when we land, everything shut down. Like NBA is done, NCAA is done, March Madness is like on the verge of being done. Like Duke and Kentucky say, I don't want to play anymore because like this is bad. And then, you know, UW had already been dealing with, you know, the Baylor tennis team's not wanting to come over. So like that was sort of like my reaction to everything going on. It was just like I was in the middle of like finishing up my UW daily writing career. I was stringing for the Seattle Times, like I had all that stuff going on. And then on top of that, like this pandemic just comes like crashing down. So it was kind of a whirlwind a couple of days.
Yeah, I was getting ready for my job. That week was when they sent me my like paperwork to fill out for like direct deposit and getting paid and stuff and all of that official stuff. And so I was just like focused on that, like all the paperwork I had to do and stuff. I was really excited. I was just trying to graduate. I had 2 weeks left.
Definitely, definitely. It was a lot to take in, that's for sure. So obviously, you know, sports ends, sports section becomes kind of irrelevant. I think last time when we talked earlier, Josh mentioned how there was a focus on kind of shifting the focus of the daily towards, you know, obviously news and science, because with everything going on and with Seattle being an epicenter, that those were the things that really needed to get out there. But since then, how do you feel the daily's coverage of sports has been? And like, are there any articles in particular that have stood out to you since the pandemic from the sports section?
Well, I know, like, the day before UW ended up canceling stuff, or the NCAA, I don't remember, Montserrat, the gymnastics writer, was texting me, like, I have this idea for a feature, like, do you think it would be good? And I gave her some tips and stuff and some ideas, and then everything got canceled, and I was like, oh, okay, she's probably not writing it. And then, like, a week or two later, she comes out with this, like, awesome article about Evanny Roberson, and I think that was, I'd been like paying attention to the daily, even though I had graduated at that point, but, and wasn't like doing social media anymore. But I think that was the first one that I read, was where I was like, oh yeah, they're like, I mean, I was like really proud that through all of this, like these stories were still getting written, and that like, she still had her interview. Like, I think it was right before they canceled everything, and she still went through and wrote that story and did a great job. So I was happy to see that as someone who covered the beat for 3 years before her.
Yeah, definitely. It's like from the inside, the sections going over, like so much turnover. And like, obviously we got a new editor, we got a lot of younger writers. Like it's been good to see people learning, like every time with sports, like every year, everybody has to learn on the job. You don't get the choice to like ease and do it at all. And this group is doing that just like we did, except for it's completely different from what we did. It's not like editors like throwing you at games and putting you on deadline. It's like, I know it's taken a lot more creativity on their end, figuring out stories to tell, figuring out why you're telling the stories you are telling. I've seen some really good ones out of Sydney and Nathan, the tennis and rowing writers, about like how their sports have been affected. Like Sydney wrote a really good one about like how everybody on the tennis team, there's so many international people, international student athletes on the tennis team, and like how they're affected. Nathan's written ones about like Olympic rowers, and like how the Olympics getting postponed and canceled has affected the UW's team. And then, like, yeah, there have been other ones that are just, like, the one on Evanny, some of the ones that Nick Mendro has put out on the baseball team that's just, like, solid features, Anthony's softball articles, like, really interesting human stories about people whose, and let's be honest, their careers have been put on hold, what's, for a lot of them, going to become their livelihoods been put on hold.
Yeah, I think that just to feed off that, I've sort of been impressed by just the general excellence of everybody, and it's
part of it is writing about, you know, COVID and coronavirus and how that's affected, but also like, you know, Anthony Edwards writing about, you know, Gabby Plain and just her like demeanor, and how she doesn't get rattled, or Sydney Nash writing about Anger, the coach, the men's tennis coach, and his legacy, and you know, how he's been at UW forever. All the, those other kind of stories that sort of like, I don't want to say distract us from what's going on, but just are like, these stories are still happening, you know, even with coronavirus going on. Like, coronavirus isn't the only story that's out there and how that's affecting people. Like, I've loved seeing the stories that are just like, you know, almost like it's not happening. You know, like, it's one thing, like, you don't want to just ignore that it's happening, but like, there are still stories out there to tell that aren't related to coronavirus, as much as it feels like it's occupying our lives so much.
Definitely. I think, you know, coming from, because I've been editing them, I think what's impressed me the most is that, I mean, features, especially for new writers, and a lot of these new writers have only been writing for a year or so, but, you know, that's intimidating work, you know, trying to not only come up with your own pitch, but, you know, word counts start getting intimidating and all these things kind of add up. And I know my first feature was kind of like a dumpster fire personally. Like, I look back on it and like, and it was a mess. I was all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, and I mean, y'all cleaned it up as much as you could have, but I didn't give you a lot to start with. And I'm looking at what I'm getting from our new writers. I really loved Anthony's Kaia Gibson feature. I thought that was a fascinating way to look at how she's got here, but also like what she's doing to move on. And I thought Luca's article on the women's tennis players, I thought was really good. The track writers have been giving me a lot of good stuff too. And just like, I think a lot of it too has taken it beyond just the athletic standpoint too, though. Like, and it's crazy because a lot of these newer writers haven't even had a chance to meet these athletes in person. They've never been able to establish relationships with these athletes or with these coaches. But they're still going out there and really putting in a shift on these beats. And I think that's been the best thing to witness as their editor. I think, you know, I think about what I wrote as a freshman, and this is just miles ahead of that. And I think that's what I'm most excited about going forward, at least for the daily sports section in particular, is, you know, like, this is a strong base to build off of. They're so young and they're so enthusiastic, and it's really just such a strong base. I can't wait to come back next year and see what we can do, which, you know, kind of segues us into what's looking ahead, not only for the sports section, but also UW athletics, with potential openings or empty stadiums. What are some of your guys' thoughts on just both UW athletics and the sports section going forward?
I think that just as far as like stuff opening up and how this is going to affect things, is I think that obviously this fall and the future, especially in the next couple of years, is going to look a lot different. I think that a lot of us are expecting to see Husky Stadium. I think that we're expecting to see football, at least I am, but not in the same way that we've seen it in the past couple of years. There are real questions about like budget issues, like how are programs going to compensate for all this loss in revenue?
And some of them, issues too.
Yeah, and some of them are cutting programs, men's soccer programs, like several men's soccer programs across the country. They're
baseball too.
Men's soccer is always kind of the first cut because of Title IX. But I think that, are they going to have this Michigan game? I mean, Josh and I have talked about this at length. Like, it's the most consequential non-conference home game in probably the past two decades, just given that, I mean, UW hosted LSU all those years ago, but UW was terrible. Yeah. And LSU was great. So it wasn't that consequential because it was like LSU is going to come and whoop them. But, I mean, this is going to be two ranked teams in Husky Stadium, and it's not a conference game. And I don't know the last time that happened. Maybe Boise, but – man,
it was BYU.
We're not gonna count that one. So no offense to BYU, but I don't think they finished the year right. But
they didn't.
Anyway you look at it, it was one of the most consequential games that UW was gonna play, and now it's if it happens, it's gonna happen with I don't even think 50% capacity.
No, that's my only hope. Like, I've seen, I thought for a while it was going to be like that, absolutely no chance any fans. Then, like, the thing I've seen a couple times is like the beautiful thing about having these giant stadiums is that you can put, like, I'm holding out hope that they can put, like, you know, you put 10,000 people in Husky Stadium, everybody can be far apart as long as you, like, control how they get in and out, like, which is the hard part, and make sure that nobody infected comes in. But yeah, like, I mean, I know Alec and I, we were talking, like, that home Michigan game, like, whether or not there's noise in that stadium is, like, I mean, the crowd at Husky Stadium, I'd give it at least a field goal, like, maybe more, maybe call, maybe make that a 5 or 6 point swing in some big games.
I mean, I know it's kind of different circumstances, but I mean, you saw what happened to UW when the Cal game got postponed forever, and you have that extra postponing too, but at the same time, all the fans left, and they played Cal in the empty stadium and lose in week two, which kind of set the tone for the season.
And the only thing, other thing I think about is, like, covering the softball team, there's always, because they've been so good, they've hosted regionals, so there's all, and I've ended up usually freelancing for papers for the other schools. So I've been, there's always that game, the loser out game Saturday night, which is two teams that aren't UW. There's always a rain delay because it's the middle of May in Seattle. And I just remember two years ago, it was Texas, Minnesota. And the year before that, it was Michigan, Fresno State. And both of them, like, started at 9 p.m. in Seattle, and some of them had drain delays, and, like, we got out of the field, and, like, the game would end at, like, 12:30, 1 in the morning, and you could count the number of fans in the stadium on two hands. Like, there would be, like, 5 family members from each school, and it would just be dead. And it was, like, it's some of the most surreal experiences I've had, just, like, watching sports with, like, no reaction outside of the dugouts. And then you realize that, like, you're looking at the possibility of that just being every sport, prime time, overtime, anytime, indoor, outdoor. It's just wild to think about.
They started pumping in sound in the Bundesliga games we've been watching, because it just was so weird when you couldn't hear the crowd even watching it on TV. But I think they're putting in fake crowd noise now.
I don't even know if it's fake crowd noise in the stadium. I think it's just on the broadcast, because people called in and were just, like, freaked by, like, hearing the things you don't normally hear.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's so many moving parts to this, too. Like Alec kind of mentioned, you know, you've got – and, I mean, I think UW did the right thing, being willing to bring back any senior athletes who want to finish out their careers. And I think, if anything, like, with the NCAA ruling, you know, winter sport athletes, we talked about gymnastics a lot, they were robbed of their chance to compete for a national championship. UW was, what, the number 8 team in the country going into pandemic or something?
I think they were a little, they weren't in the top 8, but they could have had the chance to get into the top 8 and compete for that national championship. I mean, they were doing so well, like, the best I've seen them, and I've been following UW gymnastics since I was a kid.
Definitely.
Just like, Ebony Roberson was the first UW gymnast to get a 10 in, like, such a long time. And she did it twice. They had so much potential. And for all of the UW winter sports, like, those are the gymnasts, like, Evan, Maya, and Michaela are the ones that, you know, like, they lost the most, I think, because they had the most potential to do something really, really great.
Absolutely. I mean, and Montserrat kind of touched on this in her feature too, but, like, yeah, it's heartbreaking, you know, like, especially because of the way gymnastics kind of is, like, this is kind of it for a lot of gymnasts, you know, like, if this is kind of their, like, they're not going to necessarily go on because the Olympics is taking them, like, even before they get to college, and like, this is kind of the last thing. So definitely your heart goes out to them, but, and then at the same time, though, you know, I'm glad that the NCAA allowed, like, senior athletes to come back for spring sports too, but at the same time, they also put it on the universities to bring them back on their own. Like, Wisconsin said no one's coming back, and, you know, NCAA kind of made it so that the schools have to make themselves the villains here. But at the same time, like, you know, it's the right thing to do at all costs. But now you have roster structure questions. You know, you've got teams have more or less planned out their roster 4 years, 5 years into the future. And now you've got people who are going to be around, like with the baseball draft going on, coming up actually in June. Who knows if any UW players are going to get drafted, because it's only going to be 5 rounds. Maybe Stevie Emmanuels, maybe Braden Ward, but now you have all these guys coming back who you don't expect, who will probably have like some scholarship that they need to get. It's financially, and I think also like pandemic wise, and there's just so many little things that can like kind of throw this whole thing off. Do you guys have any worries in particular about them restarting?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think I'm mostly just worried about the travel. The two things is like, if you expect that there aren't going to be any fans, then the main worry is travel and like going from different parts of the country to other parts of the country. Then you try to bring fans in, and it just becomes like, I mean, I've seen like things on Twitter, like there have been places in Germany and even America where they open churches up and you have one church service, and then all of a sudden there's another outbreak. Or still, I still don't know if it's like going to be possible to have fans, but I know America and I know that they're going to try, and that just doesn't seem like a recipe for good times.
Mm-hmm. I think, this is a kind of, you guys have obviously had a huge impact on the daily and moving forward and everything. Yeah, maybe a quick reflection on your time here, what you hope your impact and your legacy here is, and what you want to see from the daily sports section moving forward. And I think we can probably wrap up on that.
I think that 3.5 years or four, or whatever, however long it was, my biggest reflection just is all the people, right? Like you three, everyone I worked with on Gaming Daily production, you know, it was like top to bottom. Pretty much almost every reporter I worked with, I had a really good relationship with. Being able to meet all the people in the Seattle market, you know, that I like can still talk to at any time. So for me, like my time at the Daily, like what I'm going to remember the most is everybody. And then as far as just what I'd like to see in the future is just continuing excellence, getting better. Like, I know the Daily sports section can be better than how I led it, how Josh led it, how the editor before him led it. Like, the Daily can keep improving until, you know, we're at a point where we are considered like one of the, I already think we're one of the best papers in the country, but I am a little biased.
Yeah, I think when the three of us first started, one of the things, I mean, we always just said, like, we want to leave the sports section better than we found it. It was when we first got here, I mean, like, I just, was it 2 years ago? We talked to a former sports editor of the Daily, and she gave us a 4 out of 10 rating. And then we talked to her more recently, and she told us we were probably up to like a 6 out of 10. And I think that's like the most we could ask for. You know, there's always room for improvement, especially when you're student journalists. You're meant to be learning. But I think if we can leave like the people who are still there to start at like a 6, that's a lot easier than starting at like a 2, which is where we might have been when I started freshman year.
Alec touched on it a little bit. I guess like the thing I'm most thankful for and like reflecting on is the opportunities. And a lot of that is the opportunities to meet people. But just like the Daily's always been like the focal point of my college career. Like, school was kind of always second, sorry professors, but just that I got to do so many like super cool things with the Daily, and then I got to do even more super cool things because I worked for the Daily, and that got my name out there, and I got to travel to probably about like a third of the country, and I got to cover professional teams, I got to cover college teams, I got to go to so many cool places and meet so many cool people. From like the first week I was working on the paper, and it only got better and better. And I think so much of what you get to do is based off of the reputation and the foundation that people before you leave. And I just, like, yeah, as Haley says, leaving it better than you found it.
Awesome. I think that was very well put by all three of you. So we'll wrap it up there. Thanks again to Josh Kirschenbaum, Haley Robinson, Alec Dietz for coming on and talking about their experiences at the Daily, which are obviously very wide reaching and encompassing. So thanks for coming on today, guys.
Okay. Well, that was it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed. Next episode will be coming to you from the Arts and Leisure section.